This is Fire Shut Up In My Bones, bringing to the world the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for this evening's message, entitled, Is an Eternal Hell Fair? Is an Eternal Hell Fair? And now your host, Darren. Good evening and welcome to this program tonight. We're going to preach a very interesting message tonight. And the topic is, the question is an eternal hell fair? Basically, what this message is asking, is it fair that mankind that are not saved shall burn in hell forever? I had that question brought to me Sunday after church, after wrestling training. I had a gentleman ask me, is burning in hell fair? Fulfilling, paying for your sins in hell forever fair? And he's not the only one. A lot of others are like, man, that doesn't make sense. How can God toss someone who's not saved in hell for all eternity to burn where the worm dieth not, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever? That can't be. How can a loving God send people to hell and let them burn there forever? And that's what we're going to cover tonight. Let's pray. Oh God in heaven, please fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help me to present this message exactly how you want it to be presented. Forgive me for my sins, Lord. Lord, I pray that the people listening to our program understands everything we're trying to say and trying to represent, and that's the gospel message, which is the good news that we don't have to go to hell and burn forever, Lord. You showed us the good news, and that's what we're trying to do on this program. Please be with me tonight, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Some believe it is not fair that an unsaved man is cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. The fact is, your soul is eternal, and due to an individual's choice, will spend eternity either in heaven or hell. The Bible teaches there are two eternal realms, which are heaven and hell. The Bible says heaven is eternal. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, we read, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is referring to the rapture, when God comes down and takes us to heaven. But I want to concentrate on the last phrase. It says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible also mentions that a saved person will have eternal life. That means he will live forever with the Lord in peace. There will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache. He will live with Christ in heaven forever. In John 3:16, we read, for God so loved the world. That is everyone. That's you, every person on this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Jesus. That whosoever means anyone, believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Matthew 25:46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto a life eternal. Who are the righteous? The righteous are those who ask Jesus to save them. Those that ask Jesus to save them will have eternal life in heaven. Those that reject Jesus, they reject Jesus for a life of partying, sex, fornication, drugs. They want to have women after women after women. They don't want to have righteousness, morality in their life. Will go to hell forever. It's said there. I read it already. It says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. It's your choice. Do you want an everlasting life in heaven with God? Or would you rather just reject Jesus's free gift of salvation to be selfish and choose your sinful lifestyle only to find yourself in the pit of hell for all eternity? It is your choice. As you can see, there is an eternal heaven. But why is there an eternal hell? Is it fair that man must go to hell forever? Some will argue, saying, then why did God create Satan? Why did God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Eden? And these are some of the questions I've heard early this week to answer that first question about why did God make Satan in the first place that beguiled Adam and Eve, we must understand who Satan is. You see, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Please don't think that God made Satan the day of his creation some wicked, evil being at the day of his creation. As I read scripture, you'll find that that is 100% false. Yeah, a lot of people think that. Satan's name means adversary. He's an adversary of mankind. He's a jerk. He's wicked. He's the reason for the world's problems. Prior to Satan's fall, he abode in heaven. That was his home. In the order of the cherub to cover the throne of God. The Bible says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." Satan's is also known by his name Lucifer, which means son of the morning star. Lucifer's main purpose of his existence at that time was to bring glory to God in musical worship. And how do we know that? Let's go to Ezekiel 28:14 in your Bibles. Ezekiel 28:14, it says, let me actually start in verse 12. Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in the beauty. Now in the book of Ezekiel, it's going to direct its attention to Satan. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. Lucifer had a lot of jewelry built into him. He was a magnificent, beautiful creature. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He had musical instruments. That's what a tabret is. It's a type of drums. Actually, it's like a round shape object that you beat and there's bells around it. Nevertheless, it's a musical instrument. He had pipes built inside of him. He had musical instruments built inside of him. He was the music director in heaven to bring musical worship towards God. The Bible says that Lucifer was perfect. Now, please catch that. Lucifer was perfect. That means he wasn't created to be an adversary. He wasn't created to have a pitchfork and to be having horns and be a terror to people. God did not do that. He was not created to be a wicked being. The Bible says, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. That's what the Bible says. Lucifer was perfect until he let pride creep in, thus causing his downfall. Let's continue reading. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou walked upon and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. You see, the devil, Lucifer was perfect until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they hath filled the midst of thee with violence. What does that mean? He was prideful for all the things that was built inside of him. He had gold, the topaz, the jasper, the sapphire, the tabrets, the pipes. He looked in, he probably saw his reflection in those highly polished pearls in heaven and said, look at me. I'm a beautiful, majestic creature. And that filled his heart with pride. It filled his heart heart with pride to think that he can be God and that he was God. What a fool. And it says here, and thou hadst sinned. See, he sinned. He let pride get to him and he sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. It says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. He saw his beauty and became prideful. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. He had perfect wisdom, but because of his pride, he messed his wisdom up and started thinking idiotically and stupid to think that he can be better than his creator. By reason of thy brightness, that's why he was called the son of the morning star, I will cast thee out to the ground. I will lay thee before the kings that thou mayest behold thee. Lucifer was perfect until he let pride creep in, thus causing his downfall. Do understand that Lucifer was created to have free choice to either willingly serve God or disobey God. The cause of his wickedness was due to Lucifer's pride. Go with me, and it's not too far off, to Isaiah chapter 14. I think that is okay, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. If you have your Bible with me, please follow with me. Isaiah 14, verse 12. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. See, this is the devil getting prideful. He's like, I'm beautiful. I'm majestic. I got all this gold inside of me. I'm powerful. I cover the throne of God. Man, I can be like God. I can overthrow God. That's what was going on in this creature's heart. It says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what the devil said to himself. Lucifer attempted to overthrow God. Lucifer's rebellion resulted in Lucifer becoming Satan, the devil, and being cast out of heaven by God himself. It says in Luke chapter 10, verse 8, and he said unto them, this is Jesus talking, who is Lord. Thomas said, to Jesus, my Lord and my God. It says in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What does that mean? God threw the devil out, cast him out of heaven where he fell down to earth. And one day, Jesus, the Lord God, will cast the devil into the lake of fire forever. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and it shall be tormented day and night forever. And by the way, this adversary, the devil, who deceived them, it was their choice to follow the devil. It was their choice. They were deceived and they followed the devil. It's their fault. Adam was created by God. Now we get down to Adam. Okay. You know, on our topic of, is an eternal hell forever? So we just covered that, you know, maybe some of you think, oh man, God created an evil, wicked being. No, he did not. He let the devil have free choice to either serve God or disobey God. The devil went bad. He corrupted himself. Adam was created by God. There's no evil in God, okay? Adam was created by God from the dust of the ground, okay? Let's go to Genesis now. We're going to talk about Adam, the first man. And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Okay? And that's Genesis chapter 1. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man who he had formed. Now look at Genesis chapter 2, we'll do 6. But there went up, okay, let's do 7. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. As a matter of fact, human comes from the Latin root word humus. Humus means dirt. Adam, in Hebrew, his name means red clay. Red clay, that's what his name means. The Bible says, from the dust of the ground did God formed Adam from the ground, all right? And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that soul lives on forever. You also have a soul inside of you that lives forever. Many ask, if God knows everything, why did he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden? How can that be? Now look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commandeth the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. I read previously that man has dominion over the world. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and et cetera, over the cattle. Okay, God gave Adam everything of the tree of, okay. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. God said, look at this majestic wilderness that is called the Garden of Eden. You can have everything in this forest, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. That now God didn't just set up a rule. He warned Adam what will happen. You warn your kid, don't play in traffic. Why is that? Because he will die. If you know that he will die if he plays in traffic, why don't you just move where there is no traffic? Why not move where your kid doesn't have to see roads and cars? You know that he will die if he plays in the street. So why not just leave it up? You know that cars can kill people. You know that plane and traffic will kill people. So why make roads? You see how dumb I'm sounding right now? If God knew that would happen, first of all, God knows what would have happened if Adam didn't eat of the tree. But it's a test of obedience. Let me keep reading. Let's look at the warning. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. There's the commandment. And now here's the warning. Okay, you tell your kid not to play in the streets where there's cars. And then you warn your kid. Why? Why is that? Johnny, if you play in traffic, you will die. Now look at this. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Not maybe, surely, positive, without the shadow of a doubt. You will die. Now, concentrate on the death that is being mentioned here. Okay? I mentioned also that Satan had free choice, but due to pride, Satan thought he was better than God. He thought he could overthrow God. And because of that, iniquity was found in him. Satan, by his own choice, corrupted himself, and therefore God threw him out of heaven. Adam also had a free choice and was tested on whether he will obey God or disobey him. The reason for the test is that God doesn't want robots to love him. He wants his creatures to willingly love him. The Bible says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Sadly, Adam disobeyed God. Let me stop right there and introduce a very interesting contrast. Adam was tested. He failed. I'm going to read Job in a second how he was tested. Okay? But he wants his creatures to willingly love him. Sadly, Adam disobeyed God. His wife, who was beguiled by Satan, much like the same way one third of the angels were beguiled. Revelation 12:4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. The third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them into the earth. This is when they got cast out. Okay. Satan caused the angels of heaven to rebel against God. He beguiled them. And then Satan also beguiled Eve, who then caused Adam to sin. He failed the test, right? He failed the test. He had free will. He could have chose to obey God, but he chose to obey his wife, thus plunging man into sin. Now, if you have a wife, those that are married, do you want your wife to willingly love you, or do you want to force your wife to love you? Did you put a gun to your wife's head and said, marry me? That wouldn't be true love. That's not love at all. When you ask your wife, will you marry me? And she says, yes, it's because she loves you. That's a free choice. That's what God wants from his creatures. He wants his creation to willingly love him. Let me stop right there really fast. And we get back to the part where Adam and Eve fell. But go to Job. There was another man that was tested. Go to the book of Job. You can see a quick contrast between him and Adam. Now, there was a day, Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro the earth, and from walking up and down in it. He's looking for someone to destroy. The Bible says that Satan is looking for someone to sift like wheat. He's a roaring lion going about whom he may sift like wheat. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an edge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy faith. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath in thy power, all that he hath is in thy power. That means he's given the devil permission to mess with Job. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And you know the story. Job lost his wife, his kids that cursed God. They all died. But guess what? Job proved the devil wrong. Job loved God, never cursed God to his face, and he was restored full twice, actually. He got more over. Okay? He passed the test. He loves God. What if he did cuss God to his face because Job took away all of his cattle? And by the way, Job was extremely rich. He was extremely rich. You can see that in Job chapter 1, starting in verse 1 down to 6. But I won't read it for the sake of time. He was extremely rich. But what if he did cuss God to his face? You'll be sitting there and saying, see, why did God have to agree to have Satan mess with Job? How can he do that? He knows everything. Okay? He knew what would have happened if Job cursed him. He knew what would have happened if Job didn't curse him. And guess what? Job didn't curse God. He loved God, and God blessed him back for it. Sadly, Adam did not do that. He failed the test and plunged all mankind into sin. And okay, back to the beguiled part. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Okay? We know that Satan is the father of lies. He's a liar. He beguiles people. He's deceitful. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Adam uses free choice by obeying his wife, thus causing death. Okay, look what happened. Genesis chapter 3. And now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field. This is the devil again. Which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman. This is the devil talking. Yea, hath God said, ye should not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye should not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye should not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open. When it says the eyes of them were both open, that's talking about the conscience. They now know that they did wrong. But prior to that, they just had a conscience. They just had innocence. They're innocence. They walked about naked without any type of shame. But when they disobeyed God, then their eyes were open to the fact that they did indeed disobey God. And now they know evil, and now they want to do evil. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So Adam uses free choice by obeying his wife, thus causing death. So what did God mean by ye shall surely die? Here's what he meant. So let me explain. Death is the soul leaving the body. You know what that's called? That's called physical death. When you die, see, you're a living soul just like Adam. You're a descendant of Adam. You have a soul. When you die, your body will decay, but your soul will immediately leave the body. Spiritual death is what God was referring to. Spiritual death is separation from God. The second death is permanent separation from God. Anyone that is not saved is spiritually dead. That means he is separated from the presence of God. People like that cannot go to heaven. Revelation 20 verse 14. And death and hell. See, death are people that are not saved. These are people that didn't want to get saved. They want to keep partying and do all kinds of crazy stuff. They didn't want to get saved. Therefore, they are dead, spiritually dead. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The curse of spiritual separation was passed down upon all men. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What's that talking about? Wherefore, it means the reason of, as by one man's sin. That's referring to Adam entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Because of what Adam did, his descendants, which is us, have the curse of sin. When we're born into this world and refuse to accept Jesus Christ, we are spiritually dead. Guess what happens? Sinners go to hell. You say, that's not me. I'm a good person. I can never go to hell. The thing is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You are spiritually dead. But if you ask Jesus to save you, he will make you alive. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened. Who's he? Jesus, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Adam sinned. He became, well, I think you guys it. But Adam sinned and cursed all of mankind with spiritual death. They were dead, spiritually dead. They go to hell. But guess what? If you believe in Jesus and ask Jesus to save you, he will quicken you. You know what quicken means? It means to make alive. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's people who asked Jesus to save them. They will become spiritually alive. And those are the types of people that will go to heaven and not hell. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast." You can't work your way to heaven, this verse says. So you know how you go to heaven? It's by faith, believing only in Jesus that he can save you. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Faith is believing only that Jesus can save you. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Eternal life. Some of you are crying that hell forever is not fair. How about this? Jesus gives you eternal life if you ask Jesus to save you. How about that? Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And that's because mankind was born sinners, all because of what Adam did. They go to hell. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power?" 2 Jude 1:7. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication," that's sex before marriage, "and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." If you don't want to get saved and you want to hang on to your lifestyle and you want to reject Jesus, you want a life without Jesus, God will definitely give you a life without him. He will throw you in a place where there is no God for all eternity. Revelations 4:11, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever." They're down there burning in hell forever right now, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. But God had a plan. He came up with a master plan that man could escape eternal hell. You say, hell is not fair. Burning in hell is not fair. God loves you. And he came up with a master plan. I said he came up with a master plan that man could escape eternal hell. You see, God looked at Adam and foresaw that because of his sin, that his generation, who is that generation? Us, you, all of mankind, Africans, Chinese, Europeans, whatever. That's Adam's generation. God looked at Adam and foresaw that because of his sin, that his generation will be cast into the lake of fire. So what was the plan? What did God do? You're blaming God for making Satan, who was at the beginning sinless, but he became bad by his own choice. You say it's not fair that God put the tree in the Garden of Eden, but he gave man free choice to either obey him or disobey him. And you can see that evident in Job's life. Job chose to obey God despite what happened in his life. Adam did not. You say it's not fair that God did all of these things. Well, guess what? God came up with a master plan that you don't, who has ever listened to this program, does not have to go to hell. So what's that master plan? Go to Genesis chapter 3:15. This is referred to as proto-evangelium. Proto means first mentioning. Evangelium means preaching. That's where I believe we get the word evangelism from. Genesis chapter 3:15. This is right after Adam and Eve sinned. And God looked at Adam and said, "What have you done? I've given you everything. And you know what, Adam? You messed up. You messed up. You're in sin. But I'm going to help you and your generation. I'm going to give you something to look forward to, Adam, so that you can get saved and so that your sons can get saved, your daughters can get saved." In Genesis chapter 3:15, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." What is this talking about? Jesus is foretelling the future, that one day God will send his son to die on the cross for our sins. That's why it says, "And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman." That thee there, that's talking to the devil. And the woman, that's talking about Eve. "And between thy seed." Enmity means enemy, separation. There's going to be separation between the devil's seed and Jesus' seed. And it says, and her seed. Everyone knows that a woman cannot get pregnant by herself. She needs her husband for that. When it says her seed, it's talking about the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ through Mary. That's why it is appropriate to have the right type of Bible. Because most of these Bible translations say that Jesus was born of a young woman. That's totally wrong. Jesus was born of a young virgin. That's a miraculous birth. That's what the scriptures say. And it says, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The fact and the matter is this, that Jesus' death on the cross was a crushing blow to Satan's head. Satan doesn't have to have a grasp on your life. Satan doesn't have to take you into an eternal hellfire. Satan doesn't have to control your life, destroy your life, and make your life miserable and have you into the lake of fire burning for all eternity. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and it was a crushing blow to Satan's head. That's what bruise means in Hebrew. It was a crushing blow to Satan's head. It was a victory blow. Thank God for Jesus and his salvation. All we have to do is ask Jesus, Lord, save me. Take me to heaven when I die, and we will have eternal life and will not have eternal hell. It is your choice. And it says, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's referring to Jesus on the cross, bruising his heel on the cross for your sins. You see, it's not fair that God made hell. It's not fair that God put the tree down in there. But God looked down upon Adam's face and said, oh my goodness, you messed up. But that's fine. I'm going to send my innocent son to die on the cross for your sins, that you might have eternal life. It's up to you guys. Do you want to get saved, or do you want to reject God? If you reject God, you go to hell forever. If you accept God, you go to heaven forever. Your choice. Anyone that's not saved is separated from God. They are the enemy of God. However, even though mankind was sinners, God, out of his love for mankind, sent his innocent son to die on the cross for your sins. It doesn't matter what you've done. You say, oh, I don't want to go to church. It makes me feel uncomfortable. You don't know what I've done before. God died on the cross for your sins. Man, I used to distribute cocaine, man. I don't know if God can ever save me. No, God loves you. God sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. For your sins. However, even though man was sinners, God, out of his love for mankind, sent his innocent son to die on the cross for your sins. I'm going to ask this right now. Do you think it's fair that someone took your punishment on the cross for your sins? An innocent savior? Romans 5:8, but God commends his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means even though you were dirty, wicked, rotten sinner, distributing drugs probably, beating your wife, beating your girlfriend up, getting drunk, and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, God, out of his love, sent his son on the cross for your sins and died on the cross for your sins. It says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the whole world. That was the mission of Jesus Christ. That was foretold in Genesis 3:15, that Jesus will take away your sins so you don't have to spend eternity forever in hell. That's what eternity means, forever. Again, I say, Jesus is innocent and sinless, and yet he shed his blood on the cross for your sins so that you can have eternal life and not eternal hell. For those who are crying that this hell is not fair, hell is not fair, what do you think about that now? 1 Peter 2:22 says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. This is referring to Jesus. Jesus was a sinless person. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That means Jesus took upon your sin, all of mankind's sin, all of the world on the cross, on the cross, paid the penalty for your sin with his precious blood so that you can be made righteous. You know what happens to the righteous? They go to heaven forever. 1 John 3:5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away your sins, and in him is no sin. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, that means he had no sin, no blemish, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus had no sin. To those who say, it's not fair that hell lasts forever, I have one question for you, and I asked it earlier. Is it fair that an innocent Savior was murdered on the cross for your sins? John 10:18, no man taketh it from me. This is referring to Jesus' life, but I lay it down of myself. That means Jesus willingly paid for your sins on the cross with his blood. It says, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. Philippians 2:8, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This commandment have I received of my Father. God sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins, that so that you can have eternal life. Why did Jesus die for us all? Why did he do that? The answer is simple. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, paid your sins in full, so that you don't have to spend eternity in hell. Remember, eternity means forever. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Remission means payback. Remission means payback. What do you see? There is a payment for your sins if you don't want to get saved, and that's eternal hellfire. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's the payback. But guess what? Somebody paid those wages for you, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he paid it with his blood. It says, and without shedding of blood is no remission. That means if Jesus didn't die on the cross for your sins, there's no payback for your sins. But because he died on the cross for your sins and shed his, he paid for your sins with his blood, your sins are paid in full. All you have to do is ask Jesus to save you. It's your choice. It's your choice to either accept God and have eternal life, or reject God and have eternal hell. Ezekiel 33:11 says, say unto them as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Are you going to turn away from your sins and ask Jesus to save you? It's your choice. If you reject God's free gift of eternal salvation, he will give you what you want. He will give you a hell without God forever. By the way, you're going to die one day. You cannot escape death. Hebrews 9:27, it says, and as it is appointed unto men once, that means one time to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack. God wants everyone to be saved, guys. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any shall perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to perish in hell. He wants everyone to get saved. But guess what? Some people don't want to get saved. They want to reject Jesus. They want to live their wicked, sinful lifestyle, drink their booze, shoot up drugs, and do what they want, live for themselves. Those people, they go to hell. They drop dead and go straight to hell forever. Why is that? It's not fair. It's their fault. It's your choice. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. I'm going to hit on the religious folk that thought they can earn salvation by their own power. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. It says, and he went, let's start in 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and he began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And it says, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out. What is that talking about? What is that talking about? When Jesus says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, he's there saying that there is one narrow passageway to heaven. That way is Jesus Christ. That straight is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You have to ask Jesus to save you. If not, and you try to do it your own way, and that's what it's talking about here, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And it says, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able to. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about people trying to go to heaven their own way. They go to some church down the street. I'm going to heaven because I go to church, but they never ask Jesus to save them. I go to heaven because I sing in the choir, but they never ask Jesus to save them. I go to church because I drive the bus, but they never ask Jesus to save them. They're trying to get to heaven by their own power. I'm going to heaven because I give to the poor, but they never ask Jesus to save them. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, that means they're dead. They have no chances. And he begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. You know why God doesn't know them? Because they never asked Jesus to save them. And because of that, they were never the adopted sons of God. When you get saved, you become the son of God. The Bible says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To them even that believed. You know what it's talking about? People that asked Jesus to save them are given the authority to become the sons of God. That happens to those that believe only in Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They become the sons of God. You know what happens when you become the son of God? God knows you. God knows you. But these dudes right here, God doesn't know them. They never asked Jesus to save them. They never asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins. And because of that, they are a stranger to God. So God says, I know you not whence you are. He's saying, you guys want to come into my heaven? I don't even know who you are. You guys are bastards. I don't know who you are. And then in verse 28, what a sad reality. It says there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't be like these guys who sit in church thinking that that's going to get them into heaven, and they never ask Jesus to save them. Don't be that way. You know why they went to hell? Because it was their choice. They never asked Jesus to save them. Let's go to Acts 26, 28. Here's another guy that rejected Jesus and went straight to hell. And he's been burning in hell forever. Acts 26. We're wrapping it up. There's so much we can mention here. There's 66 books of the Bible. There's so much we can mention here. I'm barely scratching the surface. Acts 26, I'm in the wrong place. Acts 26. Here's another guy that dropped dead and goes straight to hell, man. Let's start in verse 28. This is Agrippa. Paul tried to witness to him, tried to lead him to the Lord, and he rejected the message. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, okay. And let's start in 24. And this is Paul. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Trying to say he's crazy. But he said, I'm not mad. most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Look at that, man. He's actually admitting that Agrippa knows these things. He knows the Bible. He heard preaching before it. That's why he asked him, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Isn't that dangerous? You sit in church all your life, hear preaching about God. And then when they ask you, do you believe in God? And then you say no. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He said, you almost got me, Paul. But I'm not going to be a Christian. Forget that stuff. And Paul said, I will to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day are both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Agrippa rejected Jesus Christ's message of salvation, and that gentleman is in hell forever. He wanted a life without God, so God gave it to him. Now he's burning down there forever. Those that believe in God have everlasting life. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God is mad at him. Look, you're in danger. If you don't believe in God, you're going to get tossed into hell fire forever. The wrath of God is going to be upon you. It's already on you right now. And if you don't do anything about it, you're going to face that for the rest of your life, for the rest of eternity. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Basically, what that means is this. If you never ask Jesus to save you, you're an unbeliever. So you are a breath away from death. It says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. You see, Jesus, through Jesus, you can be reconciled to God. That means to be friends again, to be made familiar again. If not, you're going to be the enemy of God. You're going to get tossed into the lake of fire. So get saved today. Let Jesus, ask Jesus to save you so you can be reconciled to God. My question is this. I know I went long, but my question is this. Many of you out there thought that in eternal hell is not fair. But the truth and fact of the matter is this. It's your choice if you want to drop dead and go to hell or not. If you just accept Jesus and ask Jesus to save you, do you realize he will give you eternal life in heaven with him? Isn't that not exciting? He has mansions up there waiting for his saints that are saved. They don't have to experience death, sorrow. Thank God, no taxes up there. We can eat McDonald's all the time up there. Beautiful food for all eternity. Forever. But yet you complain that hell is forever. That doesn't make sense to me. When I got saved, I didn't think that way. What I was thinking, I said, hold up. Hell is forever? Nah, man, I don't want to go to hell. So I asked Jesus to save me. I said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please take me to heaven when I die. This is what happened to me. I realized that the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was like, you know what? I know I'm a sinner. I lied. I've done all kinds of stuff. And I know that there's a payback for my sins. I know because I was a sinner, there's a payback for my sins. That's hell. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But there's some good news here. Romans 5:8, for God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus was thinking about me on the cross, all the sins that I committed. Past, future, all of it. And even though I was a sinner, Christ died for me anyway. I didn't have to be a good guy. I can't be a good guy by my own power. So Christ died on the cross for my sins and everyone else's sins. and presented me with this gift. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's up to you. Do you want to accept Jesus or not? If not, have fun in hell. You're going to burn down there forever. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I realized that. I said, man, I get to go to heaven forever, and it's only through Jesus Christ. How do I get saved? The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever means anyone. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be a good guy or a bad guy. It doesn't matter. You're all sinners anyway. We're all sinners. Just call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to save you. Do you want to ask Jesus to save you tonight? If not, you're going to drop dead and go to hell forever. Don't do that. Don't make that mistake. Bow your head. Go in a quiet place. Bow your head and close your eyes. Let's ask Jesus together to save you. Bow your head and close your eyes. And let's pray. Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. I believe the Lord Jesus died on the cross for me. Right now, I trust Jesus 100% to be my Savior and trust him to take me to heaven when I die. I now accept your free gift of eternal life. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you believe in Christ alone that saves, Jesus Christ alone that saves, and you believe that with all your heart and ask Jesus to save you, he will save you and come into your heart. He will save you. If you don't, by the way, he will save you and take you to heaven forever, forever and ever and ever. But if you don't, you will burn in hell forever and ever and ever. I hope you trusted Christ in that. Only trust him. That's Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. I'm going to turn the music up so you can hear it. Only trust him now. And he will save you. And give you eternal life. Amen.